This is part two of a message by David Ebaugh entitled, Key to Revelation.
There ought to be seven somethings in front of the vials, but I couldn't find what they were. Now, the vials are in chapter 16. Then I went back into chapter 15 and went back into chapter 14. Then one day, literally, chapter 14, verse 9, jumped out of the page. It was as though someone had a pen light, and they were shining that pen light right on that particular scripture. It was on the third day of a fast, and that just literally jumped up at me. It was illuminated. I knew what it said, and yet, you know, I had that memorized and never saw it before. Now, in 14:9, here's what it says. And the third angel followed with a loud voice. Notice, it was the third angel. The third angel. You know, I had it memorized and didn't notice it was the third angel. It was the third angel. And then when I saw it was the third angel, I took the third angel and plugged it into my computer and figured out that, well, if it was the third angel, there were two angels in front of him. And it wasn't that brilliant, but really now... Don't laugh at me, you know, you hadn't seen it either. And as I broke it down and figured that the second angel has to be in 14:8, and the first angel was in 14:6-7, and then one day I was reading in one of the new versions of the Bible, a modern version, and in a modern version, especially the RSV, Revised Standard Version, or any of the others, it says... And another angel, a second, that's in 14:8. But do you notice that in the King James it doesn't say a second? Only in the newer or modern versions does it say a second angel there. In the RSV, it says second. In the Amplified, it says second. In the Good News, it says second. Any of the modern English version Bibles, it says second, because the Greek says second. The Greek says second, but my King James doesn't say second. When I noticed that, I was very sad, very sad. And the reason, when I found out that I would also have to study Greek in order to understand the book of Revelation and divide these things down into fine points, I was going to have to go into the other earlier languages because my translation wasn't good enough. My translation did not include all the information, and some was withdrawn, and these things are important to use to unlock the symbols of the book of Revelation. Now, the truth is, I believe that God had his hand on the translators and kept them from writing the word second. Because if they had have written the word second, or first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on, as far as identifying the angels, then Bible students and people like that would have already noticed the seven angels, and I believe that it would have been easier for them to see the doubles and parallels years and years ago. But until the fullness of time, then God wanted this revealed. God, through His Holy Spirit, will show you the things which are to come to pass. I believe that God wanted this held back so that people who, having eyes, would not see and having ears, would not hear, only so that this last generation, could see this truth in the book of Revelation. Now God is showing you, through additional versions and translations, the truth of the doubles and the parallels. And that there are seven angels. And when you study the seven angels, you will find, when you break them down carefully, that the sixth seal refers to the wrath of the Lamb. But the sixth angel messenger refers to the wrath of God. Sixth seal was the wrath of the Lamb. Sixth angel messenger, wrath of God. Also, in the fourth seal, it refers to death. But in the fourth angel messenger, it refers to death. Now, the seals and trumpets are all a heavenly view. If you're writing or taking notes, write this down. The seals and trumpets are all a heavenly view. The first half of the book of Revelation is a heavenly view. The angel messengers and the golden vials are an earthy view of the very same thing. The reason that we studied the trumpets and the vials first was it was easy to see. You could see that the trumpets and the vials were the same thing easily. But when we study the seals and the angel messengers, seven seals and seven angel messengers, it is harder to see. You have to use the same type of imagination or the same type of analysis that we used on the fifth trumpet and the fifth vial. Remember, on the fifth trumpet and fifth vial, we noticed they were the same because the trumpet said it was the seat of the beast and the vial said it was the bottomless pit. And by comparing Scripture with Scripture, we discovered the seat of the beast was the bottomless pit and vice versa. In comparing seals and angel messengers, we have to use that type of logic more than we do when we compare trumpets and vials. We have to use a little bit more imagination when we're looking at the seals and the angel messengers. Now, what does this do for us? Because we see that God is speaking in a double or a parallel way, it then makes us see more about the end time events. It's like taking a picture of somebody. When you go to like a post office and there's a picture of a man and they always show you two pictures on that post office. You remember it says wanted across the top of his picture there. And they always show you two pictures of this man. That reminds me that when we look at the Jesus Christ, we notice when we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we have four pictures of Jesus here. We have Matthew picturing my Lord and Savior as the King. Mark pictured him as a servant. Luke pictured Jesus as a man in his humanity with his human qualities. But John showed Jesus in his divine attributes. Therefore, we have a better picture of Jesus. If we only saw Jesus through one of the books, we would only get part of the view. But by having several views of him, it gives us more information and we can see more fully concerning his character. Now I can see my Jesus so much better through the eyes of these four witnesses instead of just through one. And in the book of Revelation, it works the same way. In the book of Revelation, we have two views of the very same events. Now these things that we're teaching you here tonight, that maybe they don't witness to you right now yet, then please be careful and don't throw them away. Don't wrap them up like garbage and throw them out in the garbage can, but wrap them and put them in a little box and put them up on a shelf somewhere, because you may want to get these down sometime later on and look at them and see if perhaps later they might witness with you. The first seal was opened in 33 A.D. when the gospel first went forth. Now, I didn't know that. I couldn't figure that out. But the first angel messenger gave me that information. When I first read the first seal, it said that the first seal was open, and there was a white horse, and he that sat on the horse had a crown on his head and a bow in his hand, and he went forth conquering and to conquer, and that's all that I knew about the first seal. But then I read a book, and the book was written by a very good fundamental Christian writer. See, now the first seal, he said, was the Antichrist, because in chapter 19, we see the same white horse, and the writer has many crowns on his head, and therefore the writer assumed, and he was using logic, that because he had many crowns on his head in chapter 19, he must be the Antichrist because he only has one in chapter 6. Well, that made sense to me, so I called him the Antichrist. But then I got another book off the shelf. And it was also written by another good fundamental Christian writer. And he said that the first seal, when it was opened, that was Jesus Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer and to bring in the gospel forth. Well, we all know that one of these guys was wrong. They were both good fundamental Christian writers, but really, one of them was wrong. And really, I couldn't figure it out either until I saw the parallels, and you'll be able to figure it out when you see the parallels too. All I did was ask the first angel, and the angel said, it's the gospel going forth. Now, you see what I'm talking about. Whenever I try to interpret this from my own head, it won't work. And I've had to change my mind lots of times. In fact, I've changed my mind about everything in the book of Revelation. And I've had to adjust it to see the doubles and parallels. Now, when the second seal was opened, that was when Titus destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. I didn't know that, but when I read the second angel messenger, he told me the answer. Now, when the third seal was opened, I discovered that that was when Theodosius or Constantine killed the church. The third seal is the destruction of the church around 300 to 380 A.D. Now, the fourth seal was the Dark Ages when death ruled the world. The fifth seal is the present time. We're living in the Renaissance or the Restoration period. Right now, we are living in the time of the fifth seal. Five seals have been opened. The sixth seal should open momentarily. In other words, we should conduct our lives as though the sixth seal will open in just a couple of minutes. We should act like, think like, the sixth seal is about to open. Jesus said that the generation that sees the opening of the sixth seal, that's the generation that will hear the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Now, I'll try to prove that to you in a minute with chapter and verse. Now, Jesus said, if you can see the opening of the sixth seal, begin to believe it. Believe it. Work on it. Memorize it. Read it back to the Lord. But you, because you will hear the blowing of the seventh trump, which is the last trump, we'll look at the scriptures to prove that in a moment. I believe that the sixth seal is about to open, and we are ready for the end time right now, because the fifth seal is the Renaissance or the Restoration. And this is important to see because God is restoring to the church the former things that we used to have 2,000 years ago. And you know, and you can see it, and you can feel it. And you know God is pouring His Spirit out upon the church the way we used to have 2,000 years ago. You can see these things happening right now. God is pouring His Spirit back into us. He is restoring the former glory that we had 2,000 years ago. Now the church is starting to give off the former glory that we did have 2,000 years ago. God is restoring truth after truth to the Christian church in this generation. This is the restoration of all kinds of truth. Be very careful that you do not reject any of God's restoration power during this last generation. This is the restoration period. It started with Martin Luther when he said that salvation is by faith and not by works. Just a little later, there was some more restoration of truth concerning baptism, and then second work called the Wesleyan doctrine. Then the Calvinists came along with further restoration of truth about grace. And also the Presbyterians with the Knox and so forth concerning organization. And on it went. And on it's going right now as God restores, even to us. But do you know what happens every time that there is a restoration of a new truth? Uh-oh. You can't put new wine into old bottles. Oh, friends, be careful. Keep your bottles flexible. so that God can pour in the new wine into your bottle. You've got to keep flexible because someone is going to come along and hit you with new truth, and it will hurt, and you've got to be able to give with it so that you don't break with the new truth as it's restored. Keep on believing that you're in the last generation and that you can receive new truth. Be careful and don't reject any Jesus Christ honoring church. Now, Jesus said that the sixth seal is the beginning of the end. Now we'll read it together. The opening of the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, we'll read that first together. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, the beginning of the end. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Remember the sun and the moon. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Remember the stars. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Remember the figs. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Remember the heavens being affected. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now remember the four angels, remember the four corners, remember the four winds, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth, and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now remember the tribes, the word tribes. Now he seals of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, tribe of Reuben 12,000, so on. Great big long list. We'll skip over that and go into chapter 8, verse 1 right now to conserve time. And when he had opened the seventh seal, now we have just read the opening of the sixth. Here's the opening of the seventh. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. These are the seven trumpet angels. Now notice that the seven trumpets are the seventh seal. The seventh seal is seven trumpets. Now think of that for a minute. The seventh seal is seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are the seventh seal. Now, how many events are there? 13 events. The seventh event is seven events. So you'll just add 6 and 7. Do not add 7 and 7. It's 6 and 7. Now let's go over it again, for that's kind of a little complicated. When they went around Jericho, how many days did they go around? Well, it was 7, wasn't it? All right. Now, on the seventh day, they went around 7 times. How many times did they go around Jericho? Well, was it 7 and 7? Or, no, it was really 6 and 7. The first 6 days, they went once. Once a day, that would be 6. Now, on the seventh day, they went 7 times. So you add 6 and 7, not 7 and 7, and it gets to 13, not 14. In the book of Revelation, there are 13 events, not 14. the seventh angel is the angel that brings forth the seven golden vials. The seventh seal brings forth the seven trumpets. Presently, we are reading the sixth seal. Remember, the sun was darkened, the moon turned to blood, the stars fell from heaven, the fig tree was shaken, and so forth. Now, we will read in Matthew, chapter 24, verse 29. Matthew 24, 29. Notice in your Bible that verse 29 has a paragraph mark on verse 29. You see it? And also, there's a paragraph mark on verse 36. Now, in some Bibles, there's a paragraph mark on verse 32. But the majority of the Bibles do not have that paragraph mark there on verse 32. The first one would be in 29, and the next one 36. And we're going to read from 29 to 36 inclusive as all one subject. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. We remember the sun from Revelation. We remember the moon. We remember the stars, and we also remember the heavens being shaken in the book of Revelation. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And we remember tribes. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. And we remember the seven trumpet angels. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And we remember the four winds in the book of Revelation. Now, learn a parable of a fig tree. And we also remember the fig tree out of Revelation. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now notice where it says, this generation. I used to be so ashamed of the word right there where it said, this generation, because it says that this generation shall pass away, or it shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. And I used to hope that no one would ever ask me what that meant, because I knew that the generation that Jesus was speaking to had already passed away. And well, it just didn't make sense to me, because I knew that those people had passed away and those things had not been fulfilled of yet. But now we know what he means. The generation that is alive and remains until the opening of the sixth seal. We'll paraphrase that in Revelation-type terms. And he says, this generation that is alive and remains to the opening of the sixth seal. That's the generation which will be alive and remain and see all these things, even to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And we know that the blowing of the seventh trumpet is the end of all things, when all prophecy that's been discovered or been given to his servants, the prophets, shall be fulfilled or finished. The people that will see the opening of the sixth seal will hear the blowing of the seventh trumpet. It has taken us 2,000 years to get from the start of this event, or these events, until the opening of the sixth seal. And it will take less than one generation from the sixth seal to the seventh trumpet. It took 2,000 years to get this far. Now, from the opening of the sixth seal to the seventh trumpet, which is the last event, will take less than one generation. I think that we're the generation. We're so close to it. The restoration is occurring. The pouring out of the Spirit. The restoration of truth. God is restoring His truth to His church today, right now. This is the end time. Look unto the harvest, unto the fields. The harvest is already here. The fields are white unto harvest. God is pouring out His Spirit upon people today and restoring this period of right now, so that we are having what we formerly had 2,000 years ago. We're working. We're working hard and desperately because this is the harvest time. The harvest is here right now, and the storm is coming. And if we don't hurry up, the storm will hit. And we won't have it finished, and things won't be gathered in. It's so important for us to see the reason for jet airplanes and television and radio and all these new inventions, so that we can hurry and get this harvest in right now. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the real mover, the real prime mover of the whole thing. It's not by might, it's not by our power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost needs your body to use as a harvest hand in this last time. In this last time, the only way that men can know that Jesus is alive on the earth is through our love one for another. Because the Bible teaches us that we are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and through us the Holy Ghost operates. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because of your love one for another." You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you see what that does to you? We're coming to the end time. God is shaking. He's going to shake everything so that only that that can stand will stand. I believe that the sixth seal is just about to open. Everywhere we turn, there are indicators that the sixth seal is just about to open. We should all read and study the sixth seal. But whenever we read the sixth seal, that's in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, we should also remember to read in Matthew chapter 24, 29 through 36. Because, after all, how many times does a coincidence have to be a coincidence before it's more than a coincidence? Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, every one of these symbols, every one of these signs that's in the opening of the sixth seal in Revelation. And obviously, he must be speaking of this tremendous end-time event.
Be sure to send for your free catalog of Bible teaching tapes. Send your name and address with zip code to David E. Ball Bible School,